And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thanks, everybody. Please be seated. Let's give the worship team a hand. They have no guitar, no lead guitar. Thank you, Daria, for leading us, and Paula for leading us in worship. And
you leading us.
Yeah.
Man, what a challenging and yet worthwhile time for us to worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Boy, speaking of challenges, how do you love these great smelling masks, huh? Boy. Wow, what a time. What a season that we've been through. We're so glad to be back here. Patty, come on up and say hi to everybody. Come on up. This is my beautiful wife, Patty. Take a mic right there and say hi.
Hi. I'm smiling, right? I've never done this in public with a mask, so I get to teach preschool in person, which has been awesome, but I have a clear mask so they can see my face, and I love it when you can see expressions, so I just want to say it's so good to see you all. You sense the love of Christ when you're here and you from each other. I want to encourage all of you in this time. The Christ in you is so needed for those that you just see, even with smile with your eyes and give them the love of Christ.
Thanks. Amen. Yeah, that's good. That's good. This is Patty's last year of teaching. She's going to be, no kidding. But she's got a great co-teacher, and they do so well together. They're such just a loving heart that comes into that classroom every time the kids come. Fortunately, the preschoolers get to attend class in person, but they take their temperature just like everybody else, you know. So if they get snuffly noses or anything, they have to go back home. So it's a real challenge for everybody, but we're just blessed that Patty and her co-teacher get to just bless those kids this year. It's really exciting. Anyway, it's exciting to be here with you today. Some of you we don't know, but some of you obviously we do, and we love being here every time we get the opportunity. As Dean mentioned earlier, Pastors Kevin and Sherry are down in Pullman at what would I affectionately call the Mother Church. This is where Pastors Kevin and Sherry really came out of and came here to Port Ludlow, but they're back there celebrating the 25th anniversary of the building that was built back there. Beautiful, beautiful sanctuary. And so we're just excited for them and really do pray that they will have a blessed time this weekend. It's great. Well, that doesn't mean we don't get to be blessed here. We do get to be blessed today. So let's jump in here. The Lord gave me a word over this last couple of weeks, and it's been burning inside of me, so let me let it out today. Faith. It's what helps you not get freaked out thinking that somebody is now stealing your car in the parking lot or bashing it in with a baseball bat. Isn't that exciting to think about? While you're enjoying time with the Lord and everybody in here, somebody's stealing my car. Oh, great. No, it's faith that helps you remember that that's not happening. Or faith, it's what gets you up in the morning and helps you realize that you are still here, you're still breathing air, because God has a purpose and a destiny and a plan for your life. And yes, He's given you the wisdom, the way, and the means to fulfill that plan. Faith, it's what helps you keep in mind that if you take simple steps of obedience, although you can't see it right now, but if you plant good seed in someone's life, you are going to reap a good harvest. And you will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There's no better definition of faith than what is found in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the Let's all say it together. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Say it one more time. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Like God is still on the throne of heaven and very much involved in the cares of and what goes on in the United States of America. It's a conviction of things not always seen. Sometimes it gets kind of crazy out there. This morning, we're going to wrestle with this issue of faith, because according to Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And we want to please the Lord, right? We're here because we want to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. Growing up, do you remember? We had physical fitness tests in school. And they usually happened as part of gym or exercise class. Remember, how many sit-ups can you do in a certain amount of time? How many pull-ups or chin-ups? How far can you run? How high can you jump? All that kind of stuff. Do you remember that stuff? Those tests that you took? I have to admit, I did not develop early. So I was never much good at any of these physical fitness tests. I was a wimp. And there were always a couple of guys in our class who were just buff. They never lifted weights, but they were just buff. And they could do all those things. They could climb those. It was just so frustrating to me. And I typically had to follow one of them. It's just really frustrating to me. Well, anyway, we don't really know if we can do something or we're any good at it unless we get tested. For instance, playing a round of golf with someone you know is really good at it, or at least he's better than you. That applies to almost anything, really. Running, swimming, basketball, baseball, racquetball, tennis, any of the sports that you like to do. What about cooking? When you know you've got somebody coming over and you want to bake something from scratch. Patty and I have not been able to go to our athletic club now for the last 7 months. Actually, it just opened up a few weeks ago. We just started going again. Oh, man, is it painful. The muscles that we are exercising have atrophied, and it is painful. Well, it's similar in our walk of faith. Faith is like a muscle that gets stronger when we exercise it. In fact, I submit to you that faith isn't faith without a test, until we've had an opportunity, or rather the challenge, to exercise that faith. We learn how strong really faith is or isn't when it is stretched to its limits, when it's exercised. During times of turmoil, one of two things will happen. We either give up and lose everything we've been working toward, or we dig in deeper, knowing that God is the God of the mountaintops as well as the valleys. Amen?
Amen.
A week ago, I finished reading the book of Job. I know there's a collective thought of, oh, wow, I'm sorry. But actually this time, I saw these 42 chapters in a whole different light, and it totally applies to exercising our faith. First, we'll set the scene. Job is a wealthy landowner and father, and the scripture says in Job 1:3, he was the greatest of all the people of the East. We know little more than that he was not an Israelite, but somehow he came to know the God of Israel. And he was righteous before God. In fact, the Lord says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on earth." So, God grants permission for Satan to attack Job, stripping him of everything without warning, his family, his possessions, his health. As a result, his faith was severely tested. The author of the book of Job is technically unknown, but it was most likely an eyewitness who recorded the detailed and lengthy conversations. In Old Testament times, authors sometimes referred to themselves in the third person, so most likely it was Job, but it could have been a wise Hebrew scholar, as he quotes from the book of Proverbs. Job lived in the land of Uz, but no one really knows where Uz was. So scholars believe it was outside of Canaan near the desert. And though it's not certain, Job may have lived during the time of Jacob, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob fame, or shortly thereafter. So the prologue of this book provides a fascinating peek into the backstory, why God even allowed Satan to afflict Job with such pain and turmoil. But it doesn't tell us for how long he was afflicted. We can surmise it was anywhere from 10 days to several months. How's that for specifics? Job even says in chapter 7, verse 3, "I have been allotted months of futility, and nights of misery have been assigned to me." Boy, whatever, it must have felt like an eternity while he was going through his test of faith. Have you ever been through something like that when you felt this will never end? Then through a series of dialogues and monologues arranged in a pattern of threes, human wisdom attempts to explain the unexplainable. Finally, God himself speaks. Remember, he speaks in a whirlwind. The final chapters of Job record God's masterful defense of his majesty and eternal transcendence above creation, in contrast to Job's humble and ignorant mortality. In Job 38:4, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." Job came away with a deeper sense of God's power and splendor, trusting him more. In Job 42:5-6, "I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes." That's a really quick synopsis. So now let's learn some lessons from Job. As we look more closely, we get a clearer understanding of the equipment in exercising our faith that he used. Now there are other pieces of equipment created to help us build our faith, but we'll focus on a few that we can work out on from the book of Job. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we find that Job is blameless and upright, one who feared God, one who turned away from evil. He cared for his children and offered sacrifices for their protection. We love our kids, don't we? We want to protect them. But then in chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, Satan is permitted to take everything away. In verses 13 to 19, everything is taken away from Job. his livestock are stolen, the remaining livestock that he has and his servants die in a fire, and all his children die in a windstorm. And then in verses 20 to 22, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The first thing Job did after this jaw-dropping, life-crushing experience, he worshiped God. The first piece of equipment that will really help us get our faith in shape is worship. Regardless of how we feel, regardless of how on tune or off tune we are, regardless of whether we have a lead instrument helping us or not, regardless of whether we have a voice from heaven or a voice from the dust of the ground, regardless, we were created to worship God. You guys, that's what we were created for. So the natural thing that Job did after everything was stripped away from him, he fell on his face, he postured himself, and he worshiped God, because that's what he was created for. "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away." Say it with me. "Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job didn't sin or charge God with wrong. Instead, he postured himself and he worshiped. Worship isn't the thing you do when your faith is tested and everything else you've tried hasn't worked. It's the very first piece of equipment you use to build your faith. Worship, because I know that my Redeemer lives. Worship, because regardless of what happens to me or my loved ones, it is well with my soul. Worship, not because of how good we have it or how bad we have it. It's just because of who He is. That's why we worship. In chapter 2, verse 3, Job holds on to his integrity. And in verse 7, as if he hasn't already done enough, Satan is allowed to attack his health. He strikes Job with sores all over his body. And when it says all over, it's all over. Just take that in for a second. Yeah. In the second chapter, verse 8, Job takes a piece of pottery and scrapes himself while he sits in the ashes. Finally, in verse 9, Job's wife says, "Curse God and die! Be done with it already!" But in the very next verse, Job says, "Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. In verses 11 to 13 of chapter 2, Job's friends show up and sit with him in silence for 7 days and 7 nights. Not a word. I don't know about you, but I know people who can't sit for 7 seconds in silence. Starting in chapter 3, Job finally opens up and reveals the second piece of equipment. that will help us exercise our faith. Prayer. Job is a beautiful lesson of what God's looking for from us in a life of prayer. Total honesty and transparent conversation. Are you listening to me this morning? Absolute, total honesty and transparency in our communication with God. That's the kind of prayer he's looking for from us. Holding nothing back. God is not insecure by your questions or your anger or your hurtful comments. Therefore, for most of the book of Job, he maintains an open conversation / monologue with God. And then, of course, for many chapters, Job also sits there and takes all the blows his friends speak against his life. I saw his friends as representing the social media of his day. They're his so-called Facebook friends who oppose him. Right in the middle of all the accusations and judgment, Job, as part of his defense, says in chapter 19, starting in verse 25, "For I know my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me." How real is your prayer? Is it honest? Is it the kind where the Lord can say, "I know you. I know you. You're honest with me. You're real with me. This is the real Dean. This is the real Roxanne. This is the real Brad." If we're patient and wait and persevere in prayer, God will answer. Which leads us then to the third piece of equipment. Job was patient when he lost everything. How many of you heard the term, the patience of Job? Yeah. This time through, it amazed me when I realized Job didn't panic and try to take vengeance and things into his own hands. "I got to get my stuff back." He waited and he worshiped and he prayed. When his friends came and dumped on his head, accusing him of all kinds of sin and passing judgment, he let them rant while he scraped the scabs and the pus from his racked body. When he finished his long discourse and honest monologue with God, he waited and he listened. And in that patience, God responded and answered in a way that put Job and all humanity in our places. Don't be in a hurry to dump on God and then take off. Wait, wait. In the proper time, he will answer. And in all likelihood, it won't be the answer you were looking for, but it will be for your best. Finally, God spoke in chapters 38 through 41. We're getting through the whole book of Job today. Is that amazing? In chapters 38 through 41, the Lord dresses down Job and his lame friends. Words so perfectly spoken that no one dared make a peep. Finally, in chapter 42, Job reveals the fourth piece of faith-building equipment. Job was quick to humble himself and repent of his self-righteous monologues. Job 42, verse 3, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. In verse 6, therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Because of Job's response, God has Job pray for his friends so God wouldn't deal with them in judgment of their folly. Because as we've seen, Job knew how to pray honestly and transparently. In the end, Job's unrestrained worship, his honest, transparent prayer, his otherworldly patience, and genuine humility and repentance helped him endure to see God's blessing after his tests of faith. Job 42:10, and God, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Job is a model for us and becomes an illustration of the reward of persevering and exercising our faith. According to Job 42:16, he lived an additional 140 years after his tragedies occurred, which made him probably over 200 years old when he died. From the life and example of the sufferings of Job, God gives us at least four incredibly powerful tools, pieces of equipment, to grow and develop our faith muscles. It's like Nautilus stations that you do at a club. There are lots of them, and they work on different muscle groups, but these are ones from Job's life that impacted me this time through. Worship. True surrender that is sincere and yielding. Worship. Prayer. Prayer that is honest and real, holding nothing back. Patience. Waiting on the Lord. And for Brad to finish his sermon. No. And then waiting for the Lord's response. You know, we shouldn't always do something to try to fix the suffering so we won't hurt anymore. We can wait for Him to speak, then do what He says, or wait for Him to do something. His ways are always better than ours. Amen? That's probably the hardest thing for me to do, is to wait on the Lord. Throughout Scripture, there are opportunities that we see where people had an opportunity to wait. I think of Saul. Just wait. Wait on the sacrifice. Instead of waiting, he took things into his own hands. We do the same thing so many times. Worship, prayer, patience, and then finally, humility and repentance. It's not if, but when the opportunity comes for us to exercise our faith, we can know through the book of Job that God has allowed it. The best thing we can do is humble ourselves and repent of our self-centered, prideful life. I don't know about you, but I relate to that. Faith building equipment from the life of Job. Use them and watch your faith grow. Remember, God is more interested in your long-term strength than your short-term comfort. You will get sore. But you know what they say. No pain, no gain. No gain. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. If you are lacking in the faith department, or you're coming up against something that really requires an extra amount of faith this morning, I know we have folks who would love to pray with you. Patty and I would love to pray with you as well. So we're just blessed that you were here today, and blessed that you allowed us to be plugged in and connected with you this morning as well. We're just excited for Grace Christian Center and the things that God has planned here. We just love you very much, and just so appreciate this time together. Father, we just thank you for our time. We ask, Lord, that your word would go in good soil this morning, that the seeds that were sown, that you did that sowing, and that you would help us to selah on this word today. Help us to build our faith in a way that, regardless of what test comes in our lives, we can hold on to you and say it is well with our soul. Lord, you're good. You're good. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, everyone.